So welcome back to the academic track. We have a second talk, and the presenter is Nikola Milojevic from the Mercator Research Institute on Global Commons and Climate Change. You have 20 minutes for the talk, and please.
Cool. Thank you very much. Can you hear me well? Okay, so this is a collaborative work where we try to help cities reduce the energy use in building in the context of mitigating climate change. And this is a work in progress, so I will mostly be presenting a framework and experiments more than final results, and I will also focus on our use of the OpenStreetMap data in our framework. So I want to talk about three things today. First is why are we using OpenStreetMap data, and this is because it's a great source for us to find data on infrastructure. The second thing is that as a sustainability researcher, there are certain features in OpenStreetMap that we like to have, and for which the coverage is currently limited. And so the third thing is I will show you how we try to use machine learning to predict these features. So first at all, why are we interested in infrastructure? Because infrastructure frames to a large extent energy use in cities. Infrastructure can lock people in certain habits, and that can be a problem if these habits are unsustainable. For instance, for mobility, if you have the highways to the left, it's difficult to move in the city without taking a car. Well, if you have these bike lanes to the right, then it enables people to take the bike. And that's the same thing for buildings. If you have large rooms, then you need a lot of energy to heat and cool those rooms. While if you have smaller rooms, it requires less. And so I live myself in an old building with high ceiling. It's really nice, but it's not energy efficient. And at the end of the year, if we sum up all the energy that we use for building and transportation, it's about 60% of all our energy demand, which translates into more or less 50% of the greenhouse gas emission that we use to produce energy, so that we emit to produce energy. So that's really a lot, and our use of building and transport infrastructure are really key contributors to climate change. This demand, this energy demand, is expected to keep on growing while we are still struggling to make this energy production decarbonized. So we really need to reduce our energy use, and we need to do that very fast because we basically have something like 30 years to get to zero net emissions if we want to remain below 1.5 degree of global mean temperature increase. And in order to do that, like one of the a solution that we think can be really efficient is to use infrastructure planning as a way to reframe the energy demand in cities. So this is about dealing with our current infrastructure and also designing the new addition, both in order to help people having a lower carbon lifestyle. Policymakers, in order to design policies for that, they need information on like where is the energy use, what is the reason for a certain energy use, and how much energy use is there in their cities. So they need geographical models to see that. And in addition, if we can have common frameworks with models that are applicable to different cities, then we can compare the problem and the solution in different cities. So that's where we want to do something. And so currently, for buildings, there is a certain gap between a lot of studies that are looking at buildings at the building level, and other studies that work at a much more aggregated level. So there is a gap in the literature in having building the energy models for buildings that are both at the building level but at the city scale. So our framework, in our framework, we try to have building energy models for all city where we have individual buildings. So first stored as a 3D model where you can see each building, and then for each building we try to compute the energy use. So during the rest of the talk I will focus on the first part, how we use OpenStreetMap data to generate the 3D building model. And so just as a note, one of the reasons why most of the models so far at the building level is that because it's very difficult to compute the energy use of a building. So in our framework, we try to make it very simple and have very simplified metrics. So and then like have a modular framework that could be made more complex later. And so as an example, so far we just look at the energy use for heating and cooling. So if we want to have a model for each building in a city, we thought that OpenStreetMap is a very nice opportunity to start the model with like the data. So the 3D model that we try to do first here is like at the LOD1. So this is basically like a footprint multiplied by a single height value for a building. And the rationale here is that we basically want to get the volume of the building that you need to heat and cool, and we also need to have the surface of outer walls, because this is where you have thermal loss. And so these two elements are important to compute the energy use. We have different sources of height data. Remote sensing, cadastre, and particular LiDAR data can provide accurate models. But it's expensive, and it's only limited to few cities that the financial means to have such models. So can we use OpenStreetMap? And so in OpenStreetMap, we basically have many of the footprints, but the heights are stored in the key height. But it turns that this key is rather sparse. So we have 12 million key heights filled worldwide. And so this is more or less 25 times the size of a city like Berlin. So the question was, can we predict other heights out of this data? So I will show you the IDAR available in OpenStreetMap in Europe. So we have more or less 1.5 million building with heights in OpenStreetMap in Europe, where it's quite heterogeneous. Italy, Germany, and France are the top one, but in all Scandinavia and in all the Balkans, there is about the same number of buildings that you have in Heidelberg that would have heights in each country. So this is quite little. Now if we zoom, for instance, in Germany, we see that building can be fairly well distributed. The building with heights can be fairly well distributed. So this is important in the context of a prediction, because that gives us heterogeneity about different contexts. But if we zoom even more on Berlin, we see that it's quite a small proportion of the buildings that have heights. And this is the case in most cities. But still, we have many cities in Europe where we have where the whole city is pretty much mapped with height. So this is in particular the case in northeastern Italy, where we have even in remote region a good mapping. And another interesting point for us here is that we have really points. We really have cities with some points in various geographies in Europe. We have in Mallorca up to Belarus, Norway, Istanbul. So that's very different. Last point on the data is of course the quality. And so the question is here: do we have representative samples in the OpenStreetMap data about the real distribution of heights in Europe? So here I give again an example of Berlin. So the top chart is the official, the distribution of the official data, and the bottom one is the one in OpenStreetMap. So first question here is like, is there a selection bias? Because mappers could tend to map a specific building more than others, for instance, more iconic or central buildings. And here we see that, for instance, there is a lack of, there is like the building between 5 and 12 meters are a bit underrepresented. Then the second question is, what is the definition that we take of a building? And so for us, a building that is interesting is a building where there is an energy consumption. And so in Berlin, I removed like this 2,600 objects because they were stones of a monument that do not that are not relevant in our conception of a building. And also in OpenStreetMap, large complex buildings can have different objects, each with a single height. So in this case, we need to merge these different objects. And the last issue is, of course, that there can also be wrong entries or different level of precision. So we have certain cities where we have heights only by 5 meter interval versus other cities where it's continuous. So we need to account for all this. But altogether, if we look again at the distribution, the good news is that we have data for each building level, but we also have to be aware that like it's very noisy. So from that, we'll try to predict building heights. And so the goal is to use machine learning to predict heights across Europe. And for this, using only predictive features that we compute from OpenStreetMap and train those features on all available height data from OpenStreetMap and also from other sources. So there has been already similar work at the regional level for the whole USA and find on GitHub OpenCity model. So they use also a machine learning approach where they map the footprint to the height, but they do not report accuracy, and in fact they say that they expect that the model is rather good on average, but that it's not so good for dense urban regions that are very important for us. And Bilecki and colleagues also did it in a scientific paper, like and more systematically for two Dutch cities. And so for this similar type of model where they map the footprint to the height, they find they have an error around 3 meters, and their best model in which they use the number of floors goes down to less than 1 meter error. So in our case, we do something similar. We try to map different features about a building that are so we try to map a different building feature about the building to the heights using a machine learning regression, and these features are either about the building itself or the surroundings. And here the idea is there is a local context within and around buildings that we may be able to harvest for prediction. And so all these features, we found them in a way that they can be computed for any building in OpenStreetMap, so there must be a simple geometrical operation on polygons or lines. So it's scalable. And then, so it is supervised learning, so we train for the buildings for which we have heights these features to the actual height so that we get the parameters, and then once the model is fitted and carefully validated, they might be used to it might be used to predict the heights for buildings that don't have it. So I will show you an example. So this is just as an example. These are not definitive results. So I used a random forest with really standard settings, and I tried to predict for two cities, so a Czech city and an Italian city. I tried to predict the heights within and across the two cities. So the two cities are like have both more than 20,000 buildings with heights, and they have like a standard deviation of less than 5 meters, so the data is rather concentrated below 10 meters. And the two cities are rather similar distribution, although they are also a bit different. So this is, a priori, we can think that it could work, but it could also not work. So here are the results within cities. So if we look at the error, it's between 2 and 3 meters. And now if we look at the distribution of the error, so on the x-axis, you have the predicted values. On the y-axis, you have the real values. And the blue line is the point where the predicted value equals the real value. So if we are on that line, it's good. The further away we are from that line, the further it's either under or over-predicted. So for those two cities, we have points that are rather next to this lines. And if you look at the Italian city, we see that most of the points are actually predicted in this corridor of like plus or minus 2.5 meter. But now if we look across city, so for the so those cities, those results are prediction made of a city with a model that will be trained on the other city. So for the Czech city, it's the error seems not too bad, but actually when you look at the distribution, we see that the model doesn't get it right in like almost never, and it's actually predicting almost everything to be 5 meter, and for the other, it's the similar thing that is happening. So so we see that the generalization didn't work, so this is really like something that is very tricky and on which we're working. So there is some research on like what are the conditions for specialization within special models. And so the different things that we are looking at is like which kind of sampling could be better. Like, do we need to develop specific models that are good at predicting in urban settings versus rural? Is it something that has most something to do with the region, etc.? And then also the work in finding the right algorithm, finding the right features that do not overfit. For instance, coordinates tend to overfit, and also using procedures to validate the model, such as spatial cross-validation instead of random cross-validation. A few last points before concluding for some implication. So in this kind of exercise, every building map counts, and specifically the building in low data settings are most important. So the big issues we will have infrastructures are like specifically in the global south. So for instance, in Africa, there are very few buildings with heights. So these buildings are even more important. And the number of floor is also like a very good predictor that is easier to map than building heights. And it's interesting that it's there are as many buildings in OpenStreetMap that number of floor as building the heights. So yeah, just to conclude, infrastructure data of OpenStreetMap is really of high relevance for us, and so we are very grateful of the great work that is done by the OpenStreetMap community. And so so yeah, as a sustainability researcher, we would love to get closer from this community and find ways to that are mutually productive for sustainability and for OpenStreetMap. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Nicola. Are there questions?
Thank you. It's I appreciate that LiDAR is difficult to get hold of, but standard aerial imagery should be good for predicting heights, should it not? Mm-hmm. You plan to use that?
Yes, I mean so far we are using OpenStreetMap because this is the easiest data because everything is well structured already, but you know it comes with more errors. Mm-hmm. So Yeah, we this is like we're trying to see if also if we can combine the different type of data. So for instance, with stereo aerial images can be an option. Satellite images is then like more complicated, but.
Other questions?
Thanks, interesting talk. And my question is about insulation. How do you account for that? Because like if I insulate an uninsulated building, suddenly the footprint is like a fifth or a fourth of...
You mean the energy footprint, yeah.
Yeah.
So so far it's really like a very, very simplified metrics where we just try to say in a certain scenario, if we assume that all buildings in this area would be the same, what would be the energy footprint? And then, so that's why I was saying that so first is a very simple framework, and then if we get information on the building types, then we would add it. So this is,
I had a question. Since you also use the context as feature to predict the building height, then wouldn't this, I can expect that there are other indicators for to describe the context, like, mm-hmm. socioeconomic development, things like this, because that influence, right?
The only issue is that we are trying to find also features that we can find everywhere, like for instance in Europe, where we have the data everywhere, but and also that it's really at the block level. All sort of, this is for sure probably very well correlated, so, yeah.
Yeah, but it's a city level, yeah, it's not the best.
It's okay. You've been talking mostly about the building heights. Are there any other tags you would like us to add?
Of course, I've been focusing a lot on these tags, so I'm not sure. for instance, one thing that is very important for in buildings is like how many windows there are on the building. I don't know if this is something that is tagged enough in SwiftMap. but apparently not.
Other questions? Yes.
A quick question. You showed that the building height is different than the official, the real height, and that can be bias in the data. Have you looked at like what part of it is noise of the data? Because if there is a lot of noise there, all the predictions also.
So your question is which are the source of noise, right?
Yeah, any idea how much noise we have?
My rough estimation for Berlin, I haven't, and then it's city specific, right? It's more or less between 10 and 20% that of the things that do not have the right height. But this is really a rough. I haven't finished this analysis yet, but yeah. So that which you'll have like quite a good number of buildings that are good, and and you can also see from like certain cities where everything seems to have been mapped by the same entity, then you can have more confidence. So this is specific, but that there can be cities where you have a lot of noise.
Thank you. Any other quick question? Yes.
You trained the models on two different cities and applied them to the other cities. Do you think it would make sense to train models for certain parts of the town, like an old town or suburbs? And do you think that this way you could get better results when applying them to other cities?
Yeah, sure. Then we would need to have a way to find in the cities to know which parts are which part. That definitely sounds something that would help.
Okay, thank you.
Any other question? Okay, I would like just to close with a remark. You already said that, but this is a very clear example of how much each single mapper can do for some scientific applications. And sometimes a great thing of OSM is that some data added by a mapper can be used for other applications that the mapper could even not think of. So thanks, every building counts, and this is really important here. So thanks again, Kola, and thank you for participating in this session.